And so to Friday's album reviews. First up will be Matt Berninger, best known as the singer in The National. He's just released a solo album called Serpentine Prison. Georgian British singer and songwriter Katie Malua shot to fame in 2013 with her debut album, hugely successful, Call Off the Search. She gives us album number 8 today, and it's called album number 8. Finally, Irish singer songwriter Paddy Hannah releases an album he has described as internal music, exploring issues around mental health. The album is called The Hill. Lauren Murphy and John Maher have been listening. We'll speak to both of them shortly, but first of all, let's hear from Berninger. The album, as I said, Serpentine Prison, and this is a track called One More Second.
Baby, don't lie to me, you know that I believe you. Always in love with someone, if it ain't me, come on. Just give me a little more time, give me a little bit of warning. Baby, I'm gonna be fine when I figure out where I'm going.
One More Second, the title of that track from Matt Berninger from his album Serpentine Prison. Lauren Murphy and John Maher have been listening, as I said. He originally envisioned this, John Maher, as an album of cover versions. So how did it change from that into the album that we got?
And he did indeed, and in fact, the producer of this album is Booker T. Jones, the Memphis legend, who produced Willie Nelson's album of covers from 1978, Stardust, one of the great examples of the genre, and an album that Matt Berninger adored. And he had worked with Jones about a decade ago, and 2 years ago, he decided that he wanted to make this album of covers and went into studio with Jones, and they laid about 7 or 8 covers down. And he, while he was there, he said, look, I've got a few originals, let's work on them as well. So the covers apparently will see light of day when the deluxe version of this album comes out later in the year. But they're all originals, and it's a good thing because they're really, really special.
And Lauren, I guess when people hear the name Matt Berninger and it's a solo project, they're going to say, well, how much of the National sound are we going to get in here? Are we going to hear a different Matt Berninger? What are we getting?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually. I mean, he obviously has a very distinctive voice and also a very distinctive lyrical style, is often, you know, quite sort of oblique lyrics. I was wondering if you might try and change that up for this record, but the very first line on the song, on the album, the first song, has the line, "My eyes are t-shirts, they're so easy to read." So, you know, definitely still oblique to a certain extent. I guess the biggest difference between this and a National record for me was that this is a lot more low-key. It's a lot more ruminative and very understated. And the National do understated really well on some songs, definitely. But I mean, when you have musicians of their calibre, and especially a drummer as good as Brian Devendorf in your band, you're going to use them. But these songs often have, they take away the, you know, the big powerful surges and the rhythms and strip it all back. It's all about atmosphere and keeping things mostly low-key. It's pared back in a lot of respects, I guess, to a normal National album.
Yeah, and perhaps, John Maher, we hear Berninger's voice in a way we don't always hear it in the midst of a big National mix, if you like. But he's not the only voice that we're hearing here. Gaelan Dorsey is present as well. Who is she?
She is, of course, people will know Gaelan Dorsey as a member of David Bowie's band for the latter decades of his life, a bassist with him. And she also appears on I Am Easy to Find, which is the most recent National album. And her vocals are really beautiful here, and they complement Berninger's croon. As Lauren says, this is a very ruminative album. There are people that love the National will wonder, is there a Mr. November here, and a kind of chaotic, frantic song of that ilk? And there isn't. It's very much an album for quiet meditation. It's a very personal album. He's laying demons bare and doing so well. One thing that's interesting is that his wife, Corinne Besser, a former editor at The New Yorker, co-writes a lot of the songs with him for The National, but she doesn't appear here at all. Instead, he works with people like Walter Martin of the Walkmen, Brent Knopf and Matt Sheehy of Elvi. That's his other band. Right. They released an album about 5 years ago. So there's a solo album in name, but there's a lot of people involved.
Hey, well, let's listen to the track that one of the tracks that features Gail Ann Dorsey. This is a track called Silver Springs.
Everyone knows where to hang, but they never show you the ropes. You get hit by a car, shot by a cousin, or slip off a boat. One of these days, the sky's gonna rain, so why are you crying? I wanna meet you somewhere right now, in the dandelions. Sit down, grow up, drive slow.
There you go, the sound there of Silver Springs, Gail Ann Dorsey and Matt Berninger. Matt Berninger is the album owner, if you like, Gail Ann Dorsey duetting with him on that track. Did this work overall for you, John Marr, and stars, please?
It absolutely did. Look, I adore The National. I think this guy is a gifted songwriter, and I've been listening to this album for the last few weeks and loving it, so it's all five for me.
All five from John Marr. Lauren, are you in a five-star mood tonight?
It's very rare that I give out five stars. This definitely comes close. I mean, it's a gorgeously crafted album. He's such a great songwriter, as John said, and I loved it more with every listen. So maybe a few more listens, it might graduate to a five, but I'll give it a strong four for now.
A very strong four from Lauren Murphy. Let's move on to album number two, Katie Melua, an album called Album Number 8, her eighth album, obviously. The opening track is A Love Like That. How do you make a love like that? Last is the lyric. A Love Like That is the song from Katie Melua and her album number 8, which she has just released. I suppose, Lauren, when I think of Katie Melua, I immediately think of 9 Million Bicycles in Beijing very early. I was thinking from her second album. Huge success from her first two albums. Has she ever matched the success? It was a hard success to match, it has to be said, that early success.
Yeah, she was enormously successful with those first albums, as you said. She has been really successful over the years. She hasn't maybe crossed over to the mainstream in the same way. I mean, she's at album number 8, so she's obviously maintained a career until now. I have to admit that I'd been quite dismissive of her over the years. I wasn't even sure that she was making music until this album landed in my inbox. So, she went from someone that you couldn't escape as a teenager with those songs to someone who's maintained a career over 8 albums, so you know, fair dues to her. I was surprised. I had low expectations for this album, but it surprised me. It was way better than I expected, not as one dimensional as I expected either.
And that lyric, John Marr, how do you make a love like that last, that kind of in some ways is the theme of the entire album, many of the songs on the album dealing with breakup, really.
Yeah, and very much looking inward, because her marriage ended and she's going through divorce, and the songs are about that, and I suppose about looking at a new life. And what's interesting about them is there's very little rancor. You know, she's kind of, she's in contemplative mode. I suppose for a musician that would have been considered the epitome of middle of the road safeness, that's no surprise. But what is surprising, and I must say I would echo what Lauren said, the songs are good. I mean, her voice works beautifully. There's a maturity here that absolutely wasn't there at the past. But to be fair to her, in the middle years of the noughties, she was about 20 years old. Mike Batta, the Wombles, was the man behind her early success, and she was pushed far and fast and maybe wasn't ready for it. But there is a fine artist underneath all of that, once you get away from the prejudices and that the name Katie Melua still brings.
And she has that very gentle voice, but there are big arrangements here. We're talking about the Georgian Philharmonic Orchestra. She went back to her roots to get these arrangements from Leo Abrahams. She can rise above the big, lush arrangements, Lauren.
Yeah, and I actually think her voice really suits them as well. She has this really, again, to use the word understated, but it matches her voice really well. And those string arrangements by Leo Abrahams, who is someone that you wouldn't necessarily expect to work with someone like Katie Melua either. I mean, he's done loads of film composition and he's seen as kind of Brian Eno's protege by some. So he's worked with loads of like Regina Spektor and Wild Beasts over the years. So he's an unusual pairing to work with her, but it really works. And those really gorgeous big arrangements really work on this album.
Let's have a listen to a track a little bit further down the track listing. Second last track on the album, actually. This is Airtime.
Give me something to spark us. Not more about the fading light. Oh, get the dance moves right. Remember laughter. Voices in the night. Tell me you're gonna be fine.
Yes, it gives it away there, doesn't it? Voices in the Night is the song that I played there rather than Airtime that I had in my head. But Lexi, let me go to Lauren Murphy on this one. Lauren, her voice, I kept thinking Karen Carpenter at different points along the way, many other artists of that ilk. There were a few names that came to your mind, I think, as well.
Yeah, there was a big 1970s influence running through this album for me, and artists like Carole King, even maybe not vocally, but definitely the piano style balladry that Carole King was so brilliant at. Norah Jones, you know, like is a kind of evergreen comparison for someone like Katie Melua, that sort of soft jazzy stuff. Eva Cassidy, that's kind of, she's been an omnipresent as an influence in her career as well. So, but the 70s stuff, like you said, Karen Carpenter, that really struck me because, again, I wasn't expecting it. So that was another thing that caught me by surprise for sure.
So you came with low expectations. Did you leave in a much happier state?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite an intimate album in a lot of ways, but it's still maybe a little bit too nice, a bit too safe for its own good. There's not a huge amount of risks, so I need to listen a bit more again to make my mind up. But I certainly didn't dislike it. I didn't dislike it for sure.
You didn't dislike it. Well, how many stars are you going to give it for not disliking it?
I'll go with a 3 out of 5.
3. What are you saying, John Marr?
I'm saying 3 as well. I think there are some very fine songs, English Manor and Airtime. People should check them out after this show. But there are eminently skippable tracks as well. Despite the pretty orchestration and the nocturnal feel, some of it just is very forgettable. But the good stuff is very good.
All right. And what did you say, sorry, John, in terms
three
of stars?
3 stars for me.
Three stars from you. Okay, let us move on then to our final album this evening, an album from Paddy Hannah, Dublin musician, a favourite among critics and music aficionados in the capital and beyond. His third solo album is called The Hill. Let's listen to a track called Sinatra.
One more cry to soul the final low. Bye. I'll die before the light is leaving. Once for the battle that I loved ever since.
There you go. Song called Sinatra from Paddy Hannah and his third solo album, which is called The Hill. Just tell us a little bit about Paddy Hannah for those outside the Dublin music scene who maybe don't know him, Lauren Murphy.
Yeah, so this is his third solo album. He's kind of, as you said, a stalwart of the Dublin indie pop scene at this point. He's been in loads of bands from the Popgal Island Collective over the years, including, you know, Grand Pocket Orchestra even, and Skellacrats. And he's currently actually in an indie pop band called Outremond as well. But he's been releasing solo albums since Leafy Stiletto in 2013. And that was an album that really set him apart as a writer of really quirky alt-pop songs, but with real depth too. At the same time, he's very much remained a bit of an outsider. You know, he's certainly not mainstream, but there's nothing wrong with that either.
I guess that song that we just heard there, John Mayer, Sonata, it probably is about as mainstream as the album actually gets. It's the most kind of straightforward pop song on there, isn't it?
It is. It's a fantastic tune. But there are also other great songs on this. And I'm reminded a little of the, I suppose that word, horrible word, cult, but cult Swedish songwriter Jens Lekman, in terms of some of his arrangements and lyrics. And there's a real kookiness to the material. It's also very difficult to categorise. I mean, you might kind of say this guy is a singer-songwriter, but there's a lot happening here. And you've also got the rhythm section of Girl Band, fantastic band, helping out in terms of the arrangement. So there's a lot of texture and instrumentation and some very good and unusual songs.
Yeah, singer-songwriter. You interviewed him, actually, Lauren, and tell us about the particular genre of film that of which he's an aficionado.
Yeah, he was talking about how his love of obscure horror films, very specifically Italian horror films from the 1970s, played a role in this album. But that makes complete sense. It sounds like a totally bizarre reference point, but you can hear it on so many of those tracks. Like, there's a track called Cannibals that you can hear it on. And, you know, this album is very much about atmosphere and ambience, and it's very soundtracky in parts. There's a lot of melody in there too, but it's certainly not a straightforward indie pop album by any means.
Yeah, and even in the opening track, The Last of Their Kind, it's almost like a film score, and that comes up in different songs along the way as well. Let us finish up then, John Mayer, with your stars for Paddy Hanna and The Hill.
Yeah, I think this is a very, very good album. It's a solid 4 from me.
Solid 4 from you. And what are you saying, Lauren Murphy, finally?
Yeah, I really liked it as well. It's unusual but intriguing, so 4 out of 5 for me too.
4 out of 5 from you. Well, you both had a good time with your albums this weekend, this week it would seem. We spoke just now about Paddy Hanna and The Hill, before that about Katie Melua and album number 8. And the first album this evening was Matt Berninger and Serpentine Prison. And indeed, that is our lot for this evening and for this week here on Arena. Leah Murphy, Paula Shields researched. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. Cara O'Hara was on sound this evening. And tonight's programme was produced by Kay Sheehy. Talk to you Monday, 7 o'clock here on RTE Radio 1.